Our next storyteller spent a good deal of her childhood either in a tree or underwater. She lives by the adage, there is always room for creme brulee. She also holds that the world would be an infinitely better place without spiders or clowns. Tonight, she shares several memories of her dad, who always made her stand tall. Please welcome Mary Rose Mignot.
Hi.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that works.
More about these later. So, my dad didn't exist until he was 16, in the eyes of the government, anyway. Like his six older siblings before him, he was born at home, and somewhere in the chaos of a house with seven children, plus the two that came after him, somebody forgot to get him a birth certificate. So, when he was 16, he did what a lot of kids did back in the Depression. He quit school to go to work and help support the family. But to get a job, you need a Social Security number. And to get a Social Security number, he needed a birth certificate. So my grandfather, my Uncle John, and my dad had to go to downtown Chicago to the courthouse, and my uncle swore before the judge. I remember coming home on April 22nd, 1920, and my father told me that I had a new little brother whose name was Francis George. So the judge ordered a birth certificate be issued, and poof, my dad existed. So, speaking of teenage boys, if you know anything about them, you know that they have prodigious appetites. And my dad and three of his brothers were no exception. The story goes that they each took 10 sandwiches with them to work every day, ate them all before lunch, and then went to the cafeteria for a meal on their break as well. And while I find that pretty amazing, what I find even more amazing is that my grandmother baked all their bread. I don't know how many loaves it takes to make 40 sandwiches a day, but I don't know when the hell grandma did anything else. So, my dad was in World War II, and I'm skipping a part here. But anyway, so I was going to say, my dad, probably like all of your dads, and probably like every dad in the history of dads, had sayings that he used at various times. And he was in World War II, and one of the ones he brought home with him from the war was no short-stopping. So he told me that this was invoked at mealtimes if you requested the salt or pepper be passed to you, and as it was coming down the line the table, somebody stopped, used it before they passed it on. You were then allowed to take your spoon and wrap them as hard as you could over the knuckles and say, no short-stopping. And so my dad told me that story during dinner one day for a good reason, and I made sure that I never short-stopped the salt again after that. So, the other thing that my dad said all the time, it was always in the winter. So if we got out of the car and we're going to the house or some building or somewhere, and it was always really cold, he would shove his hands in his pockets and tuck his chin down in his coat, and he would run for the building and say, Zimna na polo, which translated from Slovak means, it's cold in the woods. So I'd always say, it's cold here too, Dad, but it kind of got to be a joke between us, and you said it all the time, and when I had my kids, I started using it with them, and they've sort of picked it up here and there, and sometimes on a bitterly cold day here, even my husband, John, has been known to exclaim, Zimna na Bloomington Normal. So I heard a lot of things from my dad as a kid, and some of them more often than others. One of them I heard a lot was usually when I was blocking his view of the TV, and this was the standard issue, and you could probably recite it with me. You make a better door than a window, right? Unfortunately for me, and sitting down, the thing I heard probably most often was dostanish, which means you're gonna get it, and I did a lot. But anyway, when my dad was in the Army, he learned carpentry. And so consequently, anything that needed to be built around our house, my dad usually did it himself. He built our laundry room, he built the shed in the backyard, and in summers, a lot of times, he built me some really cool forts. But there was a joke about it, and it was that Dad always built everything so that it could withstand use by, you know, 100 soldiers and still make it. So, you know, if it needed a nail, Dad used a screw. If it needed a half-inch screw, he used a 2-inch bolt. You get the idea. So, while we always joked about that and laughed, I'm really glad, because that's the reason that I still have the stilts that he built for me 50 years later. Originally, I was going to walk in on those, but the floor is way too slippery. So, as I found out the very hard way a couple days ago. So, if anybody really wants a demo, I'll do it outside afterwards. But anyway, not all of Dad's do-it-yourself projects went that well. And sometimes from some part of the house or backyard, we might hear a loud bang or a crash, followed very loudly by, "Shit, Mary, can't you dance?" And I don't know where that one came from. I've Googled it. I don't know why Dad expressed his frustration that way. And the thing that always bothered me most as a kid was, like, why didn't he voice it as a question? I don't know. But I don't know why I didn't ask him either, but I never did, so that one is still a mystery. One of Dad's big loves was dancing. And when I was little, he would pick me up and whirl me around the room and sing me the Blue Skirt Waltz, which is the music they were talking about earlier. And he and my mom, whose name was Louise, by the way, she wasn't the bad dancing Mary in question, used to cut a rug at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago and in the living room on Saturday nights with the Lawrence Welk Show. And at every wedding they were ever invited to, where Dad persistently, all night long, would pester the band to play more polkas, for crying out loud. The other thing he loved was jigsaw puzzles. Dad would get out the cardboard or the card table, put it up in the living room. He'd spread the 1,000 pieces over it, and he'd always set the box up on end so he could, you know, refer to the picture for help as he was working the puzzle. And he didn't have like any special saying that went along with this, but you know, when you pick up a piece and you're sure it's going to fit, and then it doesn't, you could always hear him muttering under his breath, "You dirty dog, you." And his other big love was kids. Dad loved kids. When I would come home from college on the bus or the train and walk into the station, you know, I never looked for him like this. I always looked on the floor, because he was always, you know, playing with somebody's kid or teaching them tricks or telling them jokes. And, you know, these days that might be kind of creepy, but back then nobody thought anything of it, and that's where my dad always was. I don't know if you've ever witnessed this, but I've been in church, and you know, there's somebody in the row ahead of you who's holding their child, and they're facing backward over their shoulder, and then somebody in your row is looking at that kid and starts playing with them by, you know, winking and making faces, and then the kid starts giggling, and you know, very soon they're in trouble, right? And then their parent turns around to see what's causing this, and then the person in your row just goes all innocent faced, you know, and looking at, that was my dad. Yeah. So I tell you both of those things for a reason. It's very funny how our minds work. My dad's love of kids and jigsaw puzzles, and probably dancing, but that part we don't know, never flagged throughout his life. Even the last 15 years he spent in a nursing home due to Alzheimer's. But there were a couple of things that happened that made me know that he didn't lose his love of either of those things. One time we were visiting, well, a lot of times when we would visit, we would bring him jigsaw puzzles, and as the disease progressed, they had to get, you know, smaller and easier. And at the point where my dad was spent most of his time staring off into space, and he would speak sometimes, but it was really, like, unintelligible. It was not actual words. It was just sort of babbling. And it had been that way maybe for 6 months. Well, I brought him just this little 12-piece children's puzzle. It was a picture of a couple of pterodactyls, and I didn't really expect him to interact with it, but I opened it up and I spread the pieces out on the table in front of him and set the box on its end so, you know, you could see the picture. And sometime during the course of conversation, my mom and my sister and I saw him look over at the box, and I saw him just focus on it, and I looked at him, And he said, clear as a bell, what the hell kind of birds are those? And I laughed and I said, they're not birds, Dad, they're pterodactyls. And he just like, like he disapproved and then he looked away again. And that was it. A few years after that, we were visiting him again, and my oldest daughter was very little. She wasn't walking yet. And they had him in this big chair, and it had a big tray around it so they could put his food or whatever they needed in front of him on it. And I think it was John set my daughter on the tray right in front of him, and he had just been sitting there looking off like that. And when he set her on there, he turned his head, and he looked right at her, and he reached out, and he took her little foot, and he said, hey. And then he put it down, and he looked away, and he was gone again. So, well, it's really hard to lose somebody that way, in any way, actually. Obviously, I have a lot of good memories of Dad and the funny things he used to say, but there's one that's my favorite. So, when my mom and Dad got married, my mom had two children from another marriage, my half-brother and half-sister. But my dad, being the kid lover that he was, he wanted more. And so it happened that I was born on his 41st birthday. Dad was super proud of this fact, and I always thought it was like the coolest thing ever. We shared birthday parties and birthday cakes and birthday dinners out. And but it was our shared day that really spawned my favorite saying. Anytime we were out somewhere and ran into somebody that my dad knew but I didn't, he would always introduce me in exactly the same way. He would say, this is my daughter, Mary Rose. She was my birthday present. Thank you.